7 American soldiers died today in Afghanistan. The military says they were working near a stockpile of weapons when an explosion killed them. 4 other people were hurt, and 1 is missing. The blast occurred about 60 miles from the capital, Kabul. Thousands of American troops are based in Afghanistan, sent there more than 2 years ago to rid the country of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban regime.
In the February 12th issue of the New York Review of Books, the journalist Ahmed Rashid recalls his journey through Afghanistan in the winter of 1994-95. It was a journey, he writes, to try to understand the new Islamic movement called Taliban. And then he writes of a return visit this past autumn to post-Taliban Afghanistan. Rashid says of this second journey, "What I saw was history repeating itself, in some respects, worse than before." Ahmed Rashid is a correspondent for the Far Eastern Economic Review. He joins us from Lahore, Pakistan. What do you mean by you saw history repeating itself, perhaps worse than before?
Well, in the south where I was traveling, where the Taliban originated from, there has been, in the past few months, an enormous resurgence of the Taliban. They're terrorizing the population, and of course this has led to the United Nations and other aid agencies pulling out. And that's a very dangerous situation because it's the people of the south, the Pashtuns, who had initially supported the Taliban and who were then fought the American troops after September the 11th. It's there where the winning of hearts and minds and reconstruction is most important.
In your article, which is titled The Mess in Afghanistan, in which you review various reports by non-government organizations that have been working or studying the situation in Afghanistan, you describe the authority now wielded by warlords in much of the country, sometimes enforcing Islamic law in a way that is exactly as we heard the Taliban describe.
Exactly, and these are warlords who are inside the government. I mean, these are not warlords who are opposing the government.
You describe at one point in your article that one of the warlords, Ismail Khan, has actually revived the Department of Vice and Virtue, which was a feature of the Taliban regime.
Ismail Khan is a warlord in western Afghanistan. He rules over 3 provinces based in Herat, and he's also very much part of the fundamentalist grid of warlords who are part inside the government, as it were. Ismail Khan has been responsible for restricting a role for women in western Afghanistan. His police have been picking up young girls in the street and taking them to jail or to hospital and carrying out virginity tests. There is a Department of Vice and Virtue that is extremely oppressive. He's been controlling the radio, the media. You can't show females on any TV programs and videos, movies which show women, etc.
Another warlord whose abuses you write about is Hazrat Ali. Who is he?
Well, Hazrat Ali is one of the major warlords in eastern Afghanistan, in the Pashtun belt, who's been very closely linked. He was involved with the operation in Tora Bora to dig out bin Laden in the beginning of 2002, and in the subsequent Operation Anaconda, where U.S. forces were involved. He's been fighting alongside U.S. forces, and he still is. He's got a very large militia working with the Americans, but he's also been responsible for huge human rights abuses in the region he controls. His troops, his commanders have been robbing, stealing, raping, setting very, very bad precedent. And he really hasn't been reined in any way by U.S. forces.
Many Americans remember the scenes of Afghans in Kabul after the overthrow of the Taliban regime, savoring recorded music or movies for the first time or indulging in some simple freedoms of everyday life. Do people still enjoy those simple freedoms of everyday life, or is there anything reminiscent of the old repression?
Well, certainly. I mean, there's been a huge explosion in the media. There's a lot of Western aid there to promote the media and culture. But, for example, again, the information minister, who's a very modern person, put on a woman singer onto Kabul TV for the first time. But that was immediately objected to by the fundamentalists. And, in fact, the Supreme Court ordered the TV station not to play women singers anymore. And that lasted for a few days. And then the information minister snubbed the Supreme Court and replayed another woman singer. So there's this ongoing tussle within some groups. But it must be said, by and large, the majority of Afghans are very keen to see modernization and reconstruction. And they want more money. And that has been very severely lacking from the international community.
One measure of how things are going in Afghanistan is the drug trade and whether heroin is flowing out of Afghanistan. What's your sense?
Well, certainly. I mean, there's no doubt that this Taliban resurgence and the role that Al-Qaeda continues to play in Afghanistan is now being funded very heavily by the drugs trade. And the fact that reconstruction has not happened in the way that it was pledged by Western donors after 9/11, so many, many farmers have had to go back to growing poppy, which produces opium and heroin, simply because there hasn't been the kind of input into agriculture which is desperately needed. And the Taliban is reaping the benefits of that. It's terrorizing a part of southern Afghanistan, and that results in no reconstruction, and so that results in farmers growing more poppy. It's a vicious circle which is so far not being broken. Only now are we hearing, in fact, just in the last 2 weeks, that the U.S. forces, along with the NATO-led peacekeeping forces, are going to play some kind of role in trying to help the government in eradicating poppy cultivation.
Is it conceivable to you that there actually could be a return of a Taliban-led or Taliban-sympathizing regime governing Afghanistan?
No, I certainly don't think so. I mean, this Taliban resurgence, we should remember, is taking place in a part of southern and eastern Afghanistan. Secondly, I think even the Pashtun population in the south, which gave support to the Taliban before, are extremely fed up, by and large. They want the rewards of suffering and losing so much in the civil war and then in the subsequent war after 9/11. They want to see reconstruction. They want to see development, economic development. But the lack of ability of these aid agencies to work in the South is depressing them a great deal, I think.
Well, was President Bush wildly exaggerating progress when he said there's a constitution, a new constitution in Afghanistan, Afghan boys and girls are going back to school, describing this as an instance of successful nation building?
Well, certainly I think, you know, there have been huge developments, there's no doubt, since 9/11. I mean, the whole educational system has been revamped, the health sector is being revamped, there is a new constitution, there's a lot of positive things happening. But the point is that where the U.S. has been extremely reluctant to provide peacekeeping troops, we should remember this is not Iraq. Mm-hmm. This is a country where foreign troops are still welcomed by the majority of the population.
Ahmed Rashid, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Mr. Rashid is a correspondent for the Far Eastern Economic Review. He spoke to us from Lahore, Pakistan.